All right, welcome back into Morning Drive. Fourth and final hour off and running here on this Wednesday. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Hale, Braden Gall, Derek Mason, the Constable, Chase McCabe. Good to have you in as we take you up until 10 o'clock. And now we welcome in Dan Orlovsky, former quarterback at UConn, former quarterback in the NFL with the Detroit Lions, now doing great work on ESPN. He's all over a variety of platforms, and he's with us on Morning Drive. Dan, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys this morning?
We're doing really good. Some interesting news late last week, as I'm sure you're aware of. The Tennessee Titans already have a quarterback by the name of Marcus Mariota, and then John Robinson says, you know what? We're going to upgrade the backup position. We're going to make a move for Ryan Tannehill, cut Blaine Gabbert. What was your initial reaction to that story? And then also, what is your take and what have you seen throughout Ryan Tannehill's career?
Yeah, I mean, I thought the move made a lot of sense. You know, this is unfortunately a situation at quarterback in Tennessee where Marcus has struggled for consistency both on the field and with his health. And so you get a quarterback that has played a ton of games, which matters. There's experience there. He's been around a couple different systems, so you can tell he can learn quickly in his brain. And he brings some credibility to the locker room, at least as far as this guy was a first-round pick name-wise. When you look at Tannehill and just his playing career, I can make the case that when he's been healthy and been on the field, he's been a solid starter amidst a lot of bad stuff in Miami with head coaches turnover and general manager turnover and player turnover. He, when he was healthy, was somewhat of a constant placeholder for them, or at least like a piece for them. This is a guy that they gave a $100 million contract to because they believed he was their franchise, and then his health really deteriorated. And so I believe that, you know, you've got now a backup that is going to be comfortable going into games, going to be comfortable handling a bunch of different roles, because that's kind of unfortunately what's been part of his career is just turnover in a kind of a tumultuous experience. But I like the move. It makes a lot of sense for a team that, you know, I really think has a chance to go to the playoffs and be a really good football team this year. So, man, if Marcus has to miss a game or two, we at least have a guy in there who is completely competent and can give us a chance.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think that's why you make the move from Blaine Gabbert to Ryan Tannehill, because of his experience, not only with games he's played, but he also played in playoff games as well. Not many, but enough in this day and age. I'm looking at what the Tennessee Titans have done, Dan. They've brought in, you know, places of need, whether it be a guard, defensive end, receiver, based upon what everyone else in the AFC South has done, because I think this will end up being one of the toughest divisions. Based upon what, you know, Indy has done, which is not much, Houston has done, which is nothing, Jacksonville, they went and upgraded their quarterback position. Where do the Tennessee Titans stand based upon what the other teams have done?
Yeah, I mean, you certainly put Indianapolis at the top. Because, one, their quarterback, and two, their young pieces, and they still have some cap space there that they can make some additions here in the next couple weeks. So Indy's at the top. But I would put Tennessee at number two. I really would. I know Houston has Deshaun Watson, who there's not many people who are bigger fans of his than mine, but that's also the team with the worst offensive line and the most sacks given up in the NFL last year, and they did nothing in this offseason to make it better. And so they're still – there's still that question mark of what are they up front. That's also the team in Houston who has one weapon, really, in DeAndre Hopkins, and they did nothing to give him any help. And so there's question marks in Houston for me. I understand Jacksonville upgraded the quarterback position. They still are in desperate need of some skill help. They have an unreliable running back. They have one receiver on their team. Derek, you know this. They have one receiver on their team with 100 NFL catches. One. So who's Nick Foles going to throw to? Like, there's no one to throw to. I know that defense is still solid, but I don't see this vast improvement from their offense. So Tennessee, who, you know, I can make the case that has quietly had probably as sneaky a good offseason as anybody. And I put them in the Lions kind of in the same group. Humphreys is fantastic. He had one drop last year out of something like 86 catchable targets. So Cam Wake can still play Saffold. I played with him. Roger is going to have tremendous impact on that football team. So if Arthur Smith can, you know, kind of create this offense that gets going a little bit and Marcus Mariota can stay healthy, Tennessee has as good a chance to impact their division and get into the playoffs as a lot of teams in the AFC because of some of those moves and the pieces they already have in place.
Obviously, there's a place for everything when it comes to evaluating players, whether it's a little bit of analytics, whether, statistical data from Pro Football Focus. Some of it's the eye test. When you scout a player, they just look the part. Some of it's you talk to coaches. Some of it's the system. When you evaluate quarterbacks as a former quarterback, what numbers, what stats matter to you the most? Is it some of these newer age things like yards per attempt and quarterback rating, completion percentage, third down? Like, what is it that you use, that you evaluate when you are looking at quarterbacks, that is most important to you?
I don't use numbers a lot. I really don't. I use tape more often than not because numbers are so dictated upon who's. Like, who's the play caller? What's around you? Like, who's around you? Do you have weapons around you? Maybe your offense, the yards per attempt, sure, that sounds good, but what happens if I'm not in an offense that doesn't, that's not who we are? That's not our identity. Maybe our yards per attempt is a little bit lower because we're trying to cover up for an offensive line that can't hold our blocks long enough, or we don't really utilize the play action pass, which allows us to take shots downfield. So all those, numbers surely matter. I just don't pay attention to them a lot. You know, a big thing is, like, for me, for quarterbacking, I think it's a simple thing that I try to watch. Every play, a quarterback has a problem. Every single play, there's a problem on that quarterback's plate, and he's got to know what the answers are for that problem, whether it's a run play or a pass play. And then they're also, at the same time, every play has an opportunity for that quarterback. There's an opportunity for you to go execute at a high level. And so are you doing that consistently? And I can't necessarily bang on a guy that maybe doesn't have some great receivers around them, or maybe this play caller is limited, or, man, he's got to score 30 a game because their defense is so bad. And so the numbers thing is an easy game to get caught up in. I just want to see him go and operate and execute and then do uncoachable things. There's a lot of guys that can, okay, coach, what do you want me to do? Cool, I'll go do it. But do you have things in your game, whether it's playmaking ability or ability to throw the ball or manipulate a defense or get the ball out of your hands? Like, do you do things that coaches can't coach you to do? Those are more of the things I try to watch throughout the flow of a game rather than, hey, this guy averages, 8 yards an attempt and completes 66%, because those numbers are so dependent on what else is around you.
So what do you see when you see Marcus play with all those things, the intangibles that you're talking about?
Yeah, I like Marcus's game. I really do. I had anticipated him having a better year last year than he did, strictly because he's such an efficient play-action guy, and I knew that was going to be a big part of that offense. But it's so difficult to truly gauge what he is because of the health. You see a guy that absolutely has uncoachable traits because of the athleticism. You see a guy that, more often than not, knows where to go with the football. He's much better when you move his pocket, whether it's a full play action or a full naked or a bootleg or kind of moving him to a tackle box, much better than he is when you just go, hey, we're going to drop you back. I do believe he needs to be predominantly, kind of manipulating the ball, again, utilizing play action. That's completely his comfort zone. And the big thing that stands out is when you ask him to really play in that play-action game, the confidence level when the ball comes out of his hands is vastly different than you go, hey, we're going to take this five-step drop. I want you to re-curl flat to a check down. The lack of commitment or the confidence that he has in those things is evident. So you've got to craft that stuff around him. Can he make all the appropriate throws? Absolutely. Plenty athletic, plenty smart enough, plenty competitive enough. For him, it's really like golf. The hardest thing in golf to follow up a birdie is to make another birdie. Him stringing these things together, not only.
We lost Dan, but we were up against it anyway. Tell Dan we appreciate his time and really good insight on all those quarterbacks.
I love
every play you have a problem on your plate and you have to solve it, and then you have an opportunity. I think that's a fantastic way to explain what a quarterback's basic job is. And he said run plays, pass plays.
Yep.
That's excellent.
Well, let's get into that on the other side if we have time, because we can then evaluate Marcus based upon what Dan said.
We will do that next. And also, Tennessee Titans fans are showing up, and they are showing out. We'll explain next. Morning Drive.